from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Text 10, 22. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sa eva bhuya nija virya choditam swajiva mayam prakritim sarikshitim. Anama rupatmani rupanamani vidhi samano nusasas. Haribo, what's the problem here? Hare Krishna, a second. Okay, I'm in Govardhan with a new system. If there's any, well, I mean a new server. If there's any problem with the reception, please let me know, either by the phone or by email. The personality of Godhead, again desiring to give names and forms to his parts and parcels, the living entity, place them under the guidance of material nature. By his own potency, material nature is empowered to recreate. The living entities are parts and parcels of the Lord. There are two varieties, namely Nitya Mukta and Nitya Buddha. The Nitya Muktas are eternally liberated souls, and they are eternally engaged in the reciprocation of transcendental loving service of the Lord in his eternal abode beyond the manifested mundane creation. But the Nitya Buddha, or eternally conditioned souls, are entrusted to his external energy, Maya, the rectification of the rebellious attitude towards the Supreme Father. Nitya Buddha, are eternally forgetful of their relation with the Lord as parts and parcels. They are bewildered by the illusory energy as products of matter, and thus they are very busy in making plans in the material world for becoming happy. They go on merrily with plans, but the will of the Lord, both the plan makers and the plans, are annihilated at the end of a certain period, as above mentioned. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 9.7 as follows. O Queen Kunti, at the end of the millennium, all the living entities merge into my nature, and again, when the time of creation is ripe, I begin creation by the agency of my external energy. The word Bhuya indicates again and again. That is to say, the process of creation, maintenance, annihilation is going on perpetually by the external energy of the Lord. He is the cause of everything, but the living beings who are constitutionally part and parcel of the Lord and are forgetful of the sweet relation are given a chance again to get rid of the clutches of external energy and to revive the living being's consciousness. The revealed scriptures are also created by the Lord. Vedic literatures are guiding directions for the conditioned soul, so they can get free from the repetition of creation and annihilation, the material world and the material body. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, this created world and material energy are under my control. Under the influence of Prakriti, automatically they are created again and again. And this is done by me through the agency of my external energy. Actually, the spiritual spark-living entities have no material names or forms. In order to fulfill their desire to lord it over the material forms and nature, forms and names, they are given a chance to such... One second. But in order to fulfill their desire to lord it over the material energy of material forms and names, they are given a chance to such false enjoyment. And at the same time, they are given a chance to understand the real position through the revealed scriptures. The foolish and forgetful living beings is always busy with false forms and names. False forms and false names. Modern nationalism is the culmination of such false names and false forms. Men are mad after false name and form. The form of body obtained under certain conditions is taken up as factual, and the name also taken bewilders the conditioned soul into misusing the energy in the name of so many isms. The scriptures, however, supply the clue for understanding the real position. But men are reluctant to take lessons from the scriptures created by the Lord for different places and time. For example, the Bhagavad Gita is the guiding principle of all human beings. But by the spell of material energy, they do not take care to carry out the programs of life in terms of Bhagavad Gita. Srimad Bhagavatam is the postgraduate study of knowledge. One has thoroughly understood the principles of Bhagavad Gita. Unfortunately, people have no taste for them, and therefore they are under the clutches of Maya for repeated birth and death. Om Jnana Kimanandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Taksur Mugatam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manogistam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadhamayam Tadati Sapadantikam Vanshakalpa Tarubhyascha Vipasindubhayedacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, greetings from Govardhan. It's kind of interesting how when experiences are not renewed regularly, they're forgotten. That's how if someone leaves spiritual life, it's because they're not renewing those experiences and they somehow become forget. And it's almost like I'm back here in Govardhan and I got such a wonderful program and such wonderful association. Right now I have my own little house, a one-bedroom house, and I have the house next door, which has two separate apartments, and I have Brajaraj and Radha Kumari from the Bhakti Center and Jivan Mukta. And another lady, Radha Kripa, has joined our party, who I know Satchinandana Swami's disciple. And we're just chanting and hearing all day long. We're walking around the hill almost every day, one half the Govinda Kund side, one half the Radha Kunda side. And devotion becomes so real. It's not something that you have to reconstruct. You have to construct by your effort. It's something that is coming to you. It's something that you're living within. It's like when you're living in an ocean, you don't have to get under the shower. Or you don't have to get a bucket of water and put it on your head. You're immersed in it. So we're immersed in devotion. Tomorrow, Lila Velasini will take us to Varsana. And it's just an experience. We just want to chant and hear and remember Krishna all day. And the realization becomes so thick that this is what life's about. Everything is, you know, everything is for the spiritual, but we forget the spiritual. We're meant to be absorbed in Krishna. We're meant to have that kind of identification as servant of Guru and Krishna and live by that. And here you can actually do it to some extent, more relatively easy, but I'm just feeling so blessed to be here in this shelter of Sri Govardhan. And over the years, it's actually gotten better here because the last 10 years they've been planting trees and they're just blooming. So when you enter into the other side of Govardhan Hill, from Jatipur to the town of Govardhan, and you go on the inner path, you're actually walking through a forest, a rich, thick, green forest. Brajaraj said, I've never seen anything more beautiful in my life. But it's also, you're feeling it so much. So we'll discuss this purport. There's also somehow some loudspeakers are kind of blaring into the place, so there's a little competition here. But I'll try to bear my thoughts. We're following Krishna. And we're seeing these wonderful feelings of love expressed in separation. There are two embankments to the river of prema or love. One is the embankment of union and the embankment of separation. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. So we're seeing the type of separation. Krishna hasn't left, but he's in the process of leaving. And we're seeing the level of devotion of the residents of, here, the residents of Hastinapur. And that's the goal, and there can be no other goal than a heart filled with love. Because if you don't have that, and real love, not just a mental conception, I love you, and then next month I don't love you, which means that the love wasn't an eternal energy, it was just some mental conception based on your own desires. But real love is an energy that you connect to. It's something that's eternally existing, not something that's created and destroyed. It's something that you come in contact with and attract from Krishna by your desire to serve him. And serve means to please. And what's the pleasure potency of God? It's Krishna praying. So that's real love. And we're seeing what it looks like because we should aspire for that. So now we're seeing the ladies of Hastinapur, and they have such depth. They have such depth of devotion. And they go on the rooftops, and it's described that they're so absorbed in thoughts of the transcendental qualities of Krishna that they begin to talk to him. Talk of him, and this talk is more attractive than the hymns of the Vedas. And it's more attractive because its source is love, and love is beauty. I mentioned this many times, that when you love someone, you try to offer them the best. So where there's love, there's beauty. In that sense, love is pleasure, and love is beauty. So from their love, their speech becomes so pleasing. And even though they're not Sanskrit scholars, what they're going to have to say surpasses even the Vedas. Because it's the essence of the Vedas. And what's the essence of the Vedas? Vaigaishta Sarvam Eva Vedyo Vedanta Krit Veda Vid Eva Chaham. Of all the Vedas, I am to be known. So they're praying. And they're beginning their prayers with the foundation of bhakti, which is Krishna's position. He is God, and we're his parts, and therefore our dharma, our duty, is to serve him. And this knowledge inspires that service. It's called siddhipadesh, instructions that lead to perfection. It's described just like people are looking for a treasure. They say the treasure's in the back of the house. That's where the treasure is. That's what the treasure is. That's where the treasure is. Then the digging and getting it will happen incidentally. So in the same way, when you have metaphysical knowledge of Krishna, when you actually know his position, then that will naturally, for one who is not envious, that will naturally lead to the desire to serve. So within the Bhagavatam, there's always prayers where people express the glory of God, the glory of Krishna. They glorify Krishna in such a beautiful way. So here they're talking about giving names and forms and placing them the guidance of the material nature. So that's the concept, the living entities. The purpose of the world is two things. It's bhoga, it's enjoyment, and it's moksha, liberation. And they're not separated. They're not separated because enjoyment, unrestricted enjoyment, the desire is already in your heart. The fulfillment of that desire, if it can't be transcended, will frustrate one. And therefore bring one to liberation. So that's the purpose of the world. And souls, it's described nitya siddha, eternally perfect souls, and nitya, or nitya mukha, and nitya buddha, souls that are conditioned. So it's describing the conditioned souls, that they're placed into this world, bhutva bhutva paliyate, at the end of annihilation, and it's manifest again, and with it comes the kota souls, with the ahankara, the false ego. And then they have, and then the world is working to position oneself so that one will be inclined for his real nature as a servant of Krishna. That's what the world is. The world is to teach us that we're not the controllers. Not just punishing us, but whatever happens to us is meant to bring us closer to God. So if it gives enjoyment, then that enjoyment is to be, one will become frustrated. Because you can, there's two ways to get pleasure. You can get pleasure by enjoying and pleasure by serving. Pleasure by enjoying disconnects you from the soul, because the soul is conscious that it's meant for love. So enjoyment separates you from the very thing that will actually make you happy. It separates you from the very thing that will make you happy, which is service and love. And because it separates you from the thing that will make you happy, enjoyment ultimately frustrates one. Because that disconnection from love is the worst suffering. No love is the worst suffering. So one who just becomes the enjoyer and the controller, he covers his ability and his attitude and his receptivity for love, so one becomes frustrated. So anyway, God has a plan. He puts the souls into the world. And as Prabhupada said, it's a Vedic adventure. You're born in different castes and different genders, and there's different experiences. And Prabhupada said the purpose is when Vishnu breathes out, when he breathes out with all the universes, and then he'll breathe in and everything's destroyed. And in that cosmic, almost mini second or something, in a very short time, the whole purpose of that is so that you actually catch the truth and live by the truth. That's the whole purpose of the world, to inspire you to live by truth. And when you don't live by truth, you become frustrated. And when you become frustrated with trying to be the enjoyer, because it doesn't work, then rather than make that the goal of your life, that I should be the enjoyer and the controller, you make the goal of your life living by love, which means to accept something beyond yourself. Okay, we'll go on to the next verse. You know, this is night. And even though it's about 7 o'clock here, somehow or other I'm fatigued. And when you're fatigued, generally when you give a class, what happens is you begin to speak and it activates the frame of reference towards the things that you have. And within your mind, subtly, a whole exposition is being developed. One point, and then you see what the other points are going to be made. But when you're fatigued, as soon as you speak something, you forget the other thing. So it's actually a little bit harder to actually keep a flow. I thought that I had took enough rest. Actually, here, it's very, very mystical, but it's basically been happening to me a lot. I don't use an alarm clock, but I don't need much sleep. And last night I went to bed at 7:30 and I got up at 10 and I thought I was well rested. And then I said, no, I looked at the clock. I went to bed again. I looked at the clock. It was 10:45. I said, no, I looked at 11:15. And then eventually at 12 o'clock, I just said, well, I am rested. Even if I didn't seem I have so much sleep, I am rested. But basically, I've been up since midnight. But we'll go on, and let's see how much we can do today. But these are the prayers, and they're very beautiful because they're born from the heart. And things that are born from the heart have the embody love. They have the shape of love. And when you associate with things that are born from the heart, your heart becomes transformed in the same way. So prayers are kirtan. Prayers are a very beautiful thing. Prayers are the expression of love for God. And the expression of love is the enhancement of love. So it's their ecstasy. Devayam yatpadam astasurayo satendhya nirjita mattarisvana. Pashyant bhakyukalita malatmana. Pashyanti bhakyukalita malatmana. Nanvesha sattvam parimashta maharati. Here is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose transcendental form is experienced by great devotees who are completely cleansed of material consciousness by dint of rigid devotional service and full control of life and the senses. And that is the only way to purify existence. So prayers are the basis of devotion, because these prayers are presenting the position of God, which inspires the service of God. And it says, this personality of God is experienced by pure devotees, by the dint of their controlling their lower urges and their strict devotional service. They've purified their existence, and purification of existence allows you to see. You know how much envy can cover the heart. Ichadvesa samutena dvandva mohena bharata. We're born into this world overcome by the dualities of desire and hate. So, for example, if you have envy, then you won't be able to perceive someone's goodness, which is part of them. So attitude very, very much affects perception. And because our attitude is to enjoy and control, we tend to see the world as separate from God. And that's the principle of Maya. Therefore, Prabhupada said the principle of Maya is sense gratification. Because that desire to enjoy separately, not only for sensual stimulation, but for the sense of feeling superiority. That's why when we do wrong, or someone is better than us, it's so difficult for us to accept that we made a mistake, because we've come here for superiority, for distinction, for recognition. And when we have that consciousness, we, by our strong desire, we see the world as separate from God because we want to enjoy it. We want to claim that proprietorship. So it puts us into a type of illusion. And unless one controls those urges to enjoy and control, I'm saying enjoyment in terms of material. So I'll put it this way. The true happiness is not in control and enjoy. The true happiness is to serve and serve. So purifying your existence, then you can see Krishna. Premanjana charita bhakti valochinena. When your eyes have the salve of love, then you'll actually be able to see without envy, without material covering, God. Why are we not seeing God if God is everywhere? I read something like by Bhakti Rakshaka Sridhar Maharaj, one of my favorite Vaishnav scholars. He said, the Lord has no circumference because he's infinite, and therefore his center is everywhere. Isn't that brilliant? The Lord has no circumference, and therefore his center is everywhere. And that's what Prahlad Maharaj showed. Because when he was asked, is it in this pillar? Is it in this pillar? He said, yes. Because he had love, he could see that. He could see God. So God is everywhere, the center. He's the center. Everywhere is the center, and therefore everywhere one can access God by the proper attitude. And therefore Krishna sent the message through Uddhava to the gopis to pacify them that I am here in my bhava manifestation. God is not a physical distance away. God is in another dimension. And he can be accessed immediately by devotion. That's why the last verse was talking about names, designations. We adopt so many names to reinforce the desire we have for an identity that is separate from God. Purport, as it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord can be known in his real nature by dint of pure devotional service only. Any person will be known when they choose to reveal themselves. And the people, and one reveals himself only in love. So, and if God is a person, then reality is personal. And being is only manifest in love. So if we don't see God, It's no shock. We don't see most of the people that we see because we have no relationship with people. We just see their forms. We don't see their spirit. He is to Jitendriya means one who has full control of the senses. The senses are active parts of the body, and their activities cannot be stopped. The artificial means of the yogic processes to make the senses inactive is proved by abject failure, even in the case of great sages like Vishramitra Muni. The Jitendriya, he's known by one who controls the urges of the false self. And what is the urges of the false self? The false self is I am the enjoyer and controller. Things that originate there do not originate from you. Or they don't originate from the real you. So he's saying this Jitendriya the activities cannot be stopped. And it's always been a failure to artificially stop the activities because you can't. Nahi kaschit shanamapi jatu karmakrit. Nahi kaschit shanamapi jatu karmakrit. One cannot stop doing something even for a moment. So it's when you repress the senses, someone was just telling me this, maybe Jivan looked it from somewhere. When you repress the senses artificially, beyond your level of realization, then they come back with a vengeance. That's why when people fast, they generally fall down later to binge eating. When they really try to cut their diets artificially. So here it's saying the prayer is Krishna can only be known by one who is Jitendriya, who controls his senses, and by Bhaktu Kalita, one who has developed devotion. And one whose mind is thoroughly cleansed. And one, these are the people that can realize. Because the urges, they're coming from the false self. I am the enjoyer, I am the controller. And if you try to fulfill them, you only reinforce the false concept of the self. Vishramitra Muni controlled these senses by yogic trance. The artificial means of yogic processes to make the senses inactive has proved to be abject failure, even in the case of great yogis like Vishramitra Muni. Vishramitra Muni controlled the senses by yogic trance. But when he happened to meet Menaka, a heavenly society woman, he became a victim of sex. The artificial way of controlling the senses failed. So we must control the senses. It's just a question of how to do it. Because if the senses are unbridled, they'll just keep on reinforcing the false conception of life, that I am the enjoyer and I am the controller. That's why it says when the senses are controlled, the super soul is at reach. So now he's going to give an example. Vishramitra Muni controlled senses by yogic chants when he happened to meet Menaka, a heavenly society woman, he became a victim of sex, and the artificial way of controlling the senses failed. He was meditating for 60,000 years in a lake called Pushkar. I've been to that place. And he had already practically gone through the stage of Pratyahara. Pratyahara is the militant against when your yogic, your platform of yoga comes to the point where you can be militantly against activity and conception.
Oh.
Devotional service necessitates purifying. Oh, yeah, so what happened to the Vishwamitra Muni, the ankle bells were there, but he was fairly controlled. But then impressions came from previous life, and he was lured away from his meditation. Where Haridas Thakur, who had that loving taste of Krishna consciousness, of the holy name, who had that within his heart, then he couldn't even be allured by the beautiful prostitute that was sent by Ramachandra Khan. He just couldn't be allured. Because the reality of real pleasure, of compassion and love that radiates the heart, it's such a greater feeling than any temporary sensual stimulation. And when one realizes that, Vishyavani Vartante Niraharasya Dayana, then one becomes renounced. But in the case of pure devotee, the senses are not at all artificially stopped from doing. Anything, but they are given different good engagements. When the senses are engaged in more attractive activities, there is no chance of being attracted by any inferior engagement. So it's really superior. And when one is tasting the consciousness of love and devotion and compassion that's coming from their heart, then one cannot inspire that person in any way to enjoy and control. There's nothing, because there's nothing greater than devotion. Okay, Haribo, I'm really kind of fatigued especially, so I'm going to have to end a little earlier. Would anybody like to say hello quickly? Anybody like to say hello briefly? Yeah, I'm gonna. I don't know if you're able to hear the class, but I'm gonna just have to end today just because of fatigue. Hare Krishna.